So we are continuing with our series on answering your questions, and today I'm going to be focusing on prayer. Not necessarily everybody's favorite topic, but it is for some. I liked what Andrew Baker shared last week, that in answering these questions, we're not saying this is the final answer. It's more of our response, our view on it, of course, based on scripture. But the idea is that what we say, you take away, go do more research, pray about it, and hear what the Lord speaks to you about that. So the first question we got, we've got about four questions we're going to answer. Why don't I pray? I'm hesitant and don't know why. Why don't I pray? I'm hesitant and I don't know why. As I reflected on this question, I saw that there was an appreciation of prayer in that question and a desire to pray. But there was also a hesitation, anxiety, confusion. So there's a tension there about the misalignment between the desire to pray and actually taking steps to pray. There's so many reasons as to why this may happen, but I want to focus on the element of hesitation in this question. Some of the reasons why one may hesitate: a lack of understanding of what prayer is can cause hesitation. See, prayer is the two-way communication with our Heavenly Father that involves submitting to His will and growing in relationship with Him. And when you don't understand that, you can be hesitant because you're not sure what to do. Secondly, fear of getting prayer wrong, because you think that there is a right and a wrong way of praying. So we can get fixated on making sure we do it perfectly, but there is no perfect way to pray. Fear of rejection or not getting a response. You see, our relationship with significant life figures, especially our earthly fathers, has an impact on how we approach God and what we expect to get from Him, if anything. Could you confidently and boldly approach your earthly father? That's the question to ask yourself. Could you confidently and boldly approach your earthly father? And what did you get when you made an attempt to make a connection? Did he give you the time of day, or was he too busy to listen? Were you welcomed or rejected? For some people, there's a sense of not being worthy of God's time and attention because they didn't think they were worthy of their father's time or attention. So quite often, we are hesitant to approach God. Sometimes we're hesitant because we feel silly praying, as it can feel like it's one-sided. If you think about it, for people who don't have a relationship with God, it's silly. But it can happen also for people who have a relationship with God. But here's the thing, prayer is a step of faith. And we know with faith there'll always be this sense of foolishness. Whatever your reason for holding back from praying, one thing we know is that, like any relationship, our relationship with God will develop as we choose to take a step towards Him. As we choose to communicate, as we choose to engage with Him. Key word there is choose. So that's my response to that. Question number two, how can I start? This question is really about the how. It's about the process of prayer. It's about what are the steps of getting started. First of all, I would say acknowledge the hesitation. Feel the anxiety and confusion, then give yourself room to take those baby steps towards connecting. Don't overanalyze or overcomplicate prayer or God. Secondly, I think it's important that you understand privilege. Because of what Jesus Christ did, his death and his resurrection, when we commit our lives to God, we now have privilege. Privilege of being called children of God. Privilege of direct access to the Father. Privilege of access to the Holy Spirit. Privilege of access to His grace and power. So if you are wanting to get better, getting started with a prayer life, then you have to decide to take advantage of the privilege. How can I get started? Understand what prayer is not. It's very important to understand what prayer is not if you're going to get started. That prayer is not about formulas. Some of us like formulas. That prayer is not a religious ritual to be performed to appease God. That it's not meant to be monotone, one-sided, with you or I giving God a shopping list of the things that our requests, but rather it's based on a relationship. If you're going to get started, you have to let prayer fit into what is natural and unique to you. Sometimes we try and pray like other people, but we're all different. We were made different. We engage different. Our pastor in Port Hedland, Pastor David, one of the things that he used to do, his family used to do to connect with the church was to have pizza night on Friday nights. So they had a pizza oven, and they'll prepare all these pizzas, and people would come. And it was just quite a special moment of connection. He then went on from that to create a series, a prayer series, and it was called Pray Like Pizza. Pray Like Pizza. He was using what was familiar to him to explain a concept that can be complicated for some. And he just spoke about the fact that with pizza, there's different sections, there's different toppings, and just different ways of doing it. Sometimes you need more elements than others. Sometimes you have worship time as part of your prayer time. Sometimes you have silence. Sometimes you pray in tongues. Sometimes you just read the word. Pray like pizza. Make it unique to yourself. For myself, I like writing. And so I pray through writing. I pray in other ways, but I like to write my prayers down. I like to pray in my mother tongue. For some people, it's about pairing things. That's how you create habits. You pair habits, pair two things together. I have a friend who prays and walks because she likes walking. And so that becomes her prayer time. Base it on what you do naturally. Ride and pray. Walk and pray. Drive and pray. Get practical. When we look at the life of Daniel, we hear that Daniel prayed how many times a day? 3 times. It was regular. Some people are good at being regular. Some people are not. Set an alarm. Some of these things are just about getting practical. How do I start? Be intentional about prayer. It won't just happen. If you want to get better at your prayer life, then you have to decide to be a prayerful person. You have to let that be part of your identity. This is who I am. I am a prayerful person. Pray alone, pray with others, pray with family, attend prayer meetings, pray everywhere, at work, in your car, pray about everything, the small, the big. Pray regardless of how you feel. How do I start? Let's look at the blueprint given by the Lord Jesus himself. In Matthew 6, verse 9 to 13, says, and this is the NIV, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Looking at this prayer, I believe our prayer has to first of all acknowledge that God is about unity. It says, "Our Father." So unity of the body of Christ is important. Our, not my. And there's nothing wrong with saying my Father, but in this instance, in the model we've been given, our Father. In our prayer, we have to acknowledge the relationship with the Father. The relationship with the Father. There are many relationships we can acknowledge, but we cannot ignore that relationship with the Father. It says we should honor his name. That name that is holy, that name that is powerful, that name that is above all. So as we are praying, as we are learning to pray, let's not ignore acknowledging his name. It says that we have to recognize the focus of provision being about daily sustenance. Fresh, faith-filled. Not so much accumulation. That's what I got from that. Give us today our daily bread. Not to worry about what we will eat tomorrow. Give us this day our daily bread. It says we should focus on the access we have to forgiveness of sin and also be willing to forgive. So this speaks of relationship with others. So in our prayer, we cannot run away from the importance of relationship and the importance of forgiveness. And it says lastly that we have to acknowledge that there is an evil one who is the enemy of God and his purposes in our lives. So our deliverance, our holiness, our purity should be part of our agenda when we pray. So if ever you're stuck on where to start, start there. Matthew 6, 9 to 13, and it's in the other Gospels. Question 3. What do I do when I don't get what I've been praying for, even after months? Mental health, finances, and other things. Different question under the same umbrella. Why does God favor one over the other? Some people pray and it gets granted. Others just pray and get ignored. I cannot understand this. And a common question associated with this is, why do some people get answers for healing and others don't, and their loved ones lose the battle with illness? These questions are all really about unanswered prayer and the disappointment and disillusionment that comes with that. They're also about relationship with a God who seemingly does not care about his children and favors other children. In responding to this question, I would say, first of all, there needs to be an understanding of the character and the ways of God that is foundational to us responding to this question. The question to ask is whether the idea of God ignoring you or favoring others is in alignment with who God is, in alignment with God's character and God's ways. Because what we know about God is that He is loving. He cares for you deeply. We also know that He is just. He treats His children fairly. We know that He is wise. He knows the best time and way to answer. We only know in part. He is faithful. He does not break His promises. He is near. He always hears the cries of His people. That is the character of God. But a lot of us don't know that about God because we haven't experienced that. Not yet. So there are a number of reasons why prayer remains unanswered, even with that foundation. One of those things is wrong motives. Praying for selfish gains rather than for God's glory or according to His will. James 4:3 says, "When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." It says, you do not receive because of your motives. Apart from wrong motives, lack of faith. Asking with an unbelieving heart or with doubt. It's not easy to ask in faith. The default for us human beings is to doubt. That's the default. Faith is a muscle that has to be exercised bit by bit. So a lack of faith where we ask but we doubt says that a double-minded man will not receive anything from the Lord. Sometimes we make inappropriate requests. Our prayers are inappropriate, asking for things that are against God's principles. That prayer will not be answered because it goes against God. It's like if you have somebody who is knows that someone is married and they're praying that God would open the door so that they marry that person who's already married. That prayer will not be answered. And if it does happen, it's not because it's been answered by God. Sometimes our prayers are not answered because we're not patient. Or we're not persistent. In Luke chapter 18, we find the story of the persistent widow. She was dealing with the unjust judge. They call him the unjust judge. And she was asking that he would intervene in her situation against her adversary. And he was getting frustrated, but he still answered her and gave her what she wanted. It's a powerful parable where we are taught about the importance of persistent prayer and unwavering faith, never giving up, even when answers seem delayed. Jesus explained that if even an unjust judge finally gives in to persistence, how much more will God, who is loving and just, hear and answer His people when they cry out to Him day and night? But what we have to understand about this scripture in particular is that God will answer. But it's not an isolated thing. All these work together. It's still about our motives. It's still about our faith. It's also about whether our requests are appropriate or not. So if I'm persisting, but it's an inappropriate request, I should not expect that God will answer it. If I am persisting, but the motives are still wrong, I should not expect that the prayer would be answered the way I want. So this question was, what to do? What do I do? And this is what I say. Understand that your prayer life cannot be based on whether prayers have been answered or not. Where I will only communicate with God if I know I'm going to get something in return. I have to also check in to see what my motives are. Prayer must be based on the Word of God. I also think you have to pray about your disappointment. The Bible tells us to pray about everything. Whatever feelings you're having about the things that are happening or not happening in your life, God wants us to take even those things to Him. Nothing is too small or too big for God. Stop looking for a supernatural intervention when there is a natural solution to your prayer. Some answers to your concerns are natural and practical. And God already instructs us, especially in the book of Proverbs, to use wisdom. In the area of physical health, I'm praying and I feel like God is not answering. But am I exercising? Am I eating living foods? Am I eliminating foods that trigger insulin spikes? Am I removing toxins? In the area of mental health, is it prayer of a mental health professional? Is it prayer that's needed or a mental health professional to intervene? Do I need other supports? Sometimes we think the answers are just prayer with nothing else. In the area of finances, am I budgeting? Am I saving? Am I investing? Am I being generous? Am I having other sources of income? Or am I just praying for a breakthrough and nothing else practical? So our prayer really should be for strength to exercise the fruit of the Spirit. Self-control, patience, long-suffering. Because the Lord tells us that He's given us everything that we need to have a successful life. But we have to exercise those things. Learn to share answered prayer with others, no matter how big or small. That's how we build up our faith. Question number four, which is the last question. How can I maintain a consistent prayer life? For many years, I really struggled with having a consistent prayer life. I was praying daily, but it was not the type of prayer where I felt I was really connecting with God the way that I should. What I now call doing business with God. In 2014, I had an illness that caused me to stop and seek God. I prayed, I fasted. And the more I took the time, I realized He was always available to be with me. But it took that illness for me to actually stop and respond. Consistency in prayer is not based on feelings or motivation, because those are fleeting. It's based on a decision. The decision requires that you have a strong enough why. In Acts chapter 3, verse 2 to 8, it says, "Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, 'Look at us.' So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.' Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped up to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with him into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. even in his brokenness, in his disability, in his helplessness, in his discouragement, this man kept going back to the temple gate seeking assistance for his solution, for his situation. The place where people went to meet with God, the place of worship. It was in that place of daily consistently showing up that he had the encounter that would change the trajectory of his life. It was in this place of daily consistently showing up that he experienced Peter's helping hand, that he experienced healing, restoration, and an upright posture, transformation. And it was that place of consistently showing up that he experienced a new relationship with the temple courts, where he now joined in. He was no longer sitting at the gates. He was walking in with everybody else. And he was now praising God with a different posture, from a different angle. There's a reason why we must dare to believe there is a God. Dare to have faith and dare to pray. Romans 1 verse 20, I'll get you to stand up, says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." The question is not whether we should pray or not, but rather, does God exist? Because if he does, then there is no question about prayer. Because our whole lives are to worship him. If he exists, case closed. So I just want to give people an opportunity. If you've never taken that step to pray that prayer of inviting Jesus into your life, then this is the opportunity. So we're just going to close our eyes, and if you can just pray with me or pray after me, the whole church. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to the cross. I know that I am a sinner. Please forgive me for my sins. Come into my life and take over. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you're praying it again as a rededication, if you could just raise your hand, still with your eyes closed, if you can just raise your hands where I can see you. Is that a raised hand? Yes, thank you. Thank you. I'll come and see you soon. Father, we just thank you that heaven rejoices when anyone comes back to the Father. And I thank you, Lord, for your daughter who's raised her hand in courage and bravery to say, "Yes, I want to come back to the Father." We thank you for her life. We thank you for her family's life. We thank you for her decision. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If there's anyone here who feels like their prayer life is dry and they need a shift in that relationship, where they feel like those questions apply to them, please take the opportunity to come to the front and we'll pray for you. Please continue. Thank you.